You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Hello and welcome to the China Shop. Step right in. Come one, come all. The doors are wide open today. We're inviting everybody inside. Welcome, welcome. I'm Shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I am fantastic.
Ooh, fantastic. I like to hear that. Yeah. You have a good week?
Yes, I did. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the show news.
Sounds like somebody's really beginning to enjoy Jersey Shore.
Fuck you. I actually really enjoyed this last episode, and you'll find out about that here too in a few minutes.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to that. Come on inside the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, hedge against the rage machine. We'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We are here to smash our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing our ever-growing strategies for trying to maximize gains and cut losses. If you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com. We got a lot of great stuff on there, a lot of definitions, a lot of the basics. You can also give our beginner trading episode a listen. We've got Comedians Getting Invested with Eddie Pence. We've got Dr. Hans episode, both good places to start. But the best place to be, in our humble opinion, is on our Discord server. Kyle and I are on there just about every day. It's really just an awesome place to be. We're always posting what we're trading, what we're looking at. Got other people on there doing the same thing. It's just great place to be.
It's growing too, and it's becoming an awesome place.
Yeah, it's getting better and better by the day.
Yeah,
and when you do join the server, make sure to send us a private message or email with your home mailing address, so we can send you a smash it yourself mug straight from the shop. We're just really glad you're here. We have a lot of fun. Always better with friends. All right, Kyle, that brings us up to some show news. What do we got going on here in the show? What's new?
All right, well, we've got an email from some people over at ChangeBridge Capital that wanted to reach out, said they liked our show. So we've actually scheduled them for a couple interviews. The first one of those will be coming up at the end of this month.
Oh, wow.
Let's see, what is that? That's June 30th is when that should air.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's our first chance to talk to somebody who actively manages an ETF. So we're really looking forward to talking to them about how they pick their stocks, the process of running an ETF. It's going to be a lot of interesting stuff to learn on that one.
Oh, yeah. We just spoke to those guys on the phone. They run two ETFs. They have two funds that they run. And yeah, they reached out to us, which is amazing. Who reaches out to us?
I know.
They like the show. They want to come on and talk about how they run an ETF. Like, oh, I'm a kid in a candy store. Like, what? Yes, please. I'd love to have that conversation right now. Thank you.
So we actually split that into two. So the first one will be on the 28th, and then we'll do another one at the end of July with them also, which will cover their long short portfolio on that second one.
Beautiful.
So I actually get to talk to somebody who develops short theses. Kind of see what goes into that, so it should be really interesting.
I'm really, really interested in that as well. We also, I believe this week,
Sarah Glass
from Trade Pro Academy. Oh yeah, very excited about having Sarah on here. And we also, that we can put that in show news, right, Kyle?
What's that?
We're now officially affiliates with Trade Pro Academy.
We have a link.
Yes.
So if you hear us talking about it and you want to check it out, you can use our link. We do get commission from anything that gets purchased through that link. So if you want to support the show and learn at the same time, that's a great way to do it.
And really, really improve your trading game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really improve it.
Yes.
So we have some exciting interviews here on the horizon. Very excited about being Trade Pro affiliates. Again, like Kyle said, we'll have that link in there. In the episode description, but strap in, because right now We've just got the most illustrious.
Wait.
What?
I got one more piece of pretty big news, at least for me.
Oh, okay. Well, Kyle, what could possibly be going on in your life that's newsworthy?
I have quit my job. Friday was my last day. Yep.
What? Friday's your last... no more 9-to-5 for Kyle?
Friday was my last day. Yep. I am completely finished. I get to try to do this full-time now.
Wow. Okay. That is... We're not even a year into the show, and you're now full-time.
Yeah, I might have jumped the gun a little bit.
So how long until you get another job then?
Well, I've got enough funds, I think, to make it a couple years without like bringing any income in. So I have been generating pretty decent return on like a fifth of that portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it shouldn't be an issue, but in case something actually goes terribly wrong, should be able to make it at least a couple years. But I think that also probably leads into a great poll question for this week.
Yeah.
How long until I have to find a new job?
Yeah.
Less than a year, 1 to 2 years, never.
Never. Oh, well, I know I personally feel like it's probably never, but you throw that poll question up, I'm going to pick the smallest time frame.
Oh, of course you are. And I wouldn't think of anything else. I would think less of you if you didn't.
Well, congratulations, Kyle. I am over the moon excited for you.
Yeah, and that means there should be a lot more time for me to start creating more content for the website, for the show. I should really be able to start trying to push this in the direction we've been wanting to take it.
Yes, and it's really put a fire under my ass to catch up.
I don't think you're far behind, honestly.
I would have said I was before I started the Trade Pro courses, but I'm almost done the Foundations course and about ready to start the Options course. And I'm looking at what AMC has done to my portfolio, and I'm thinking, yeah, this could be sooner or later for me as well. So Stay tuned, folks. If both Kyle and I are managing to not have 9-to-5s, we will be getting a lot more content to your beautiful
ears. All right, now you can proceed.
Well, folks, we're so glad you're here. We got a great show for you today. I might even call it illustrious, golden, and mystical if I was...
Looking for three adjectives to describe.
Well, sets of threes never happen on anything.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's art.
Yeah, so sit back. We got lots of market-moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than a bag of Coke in the 80s.
Oh, that was cheap back then, too.
I mean, I wouldn't know, Kyle. I wasn't buying Coke in the 80s.
No, you just...
I was a child.
Just stealing it.
Yeah, I was just...
Bumming it from friends.
You got a little bump? I got a t-ball game. I got to kick ass. reach out to us, folks. We love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook, TikTok, Discord. We got that Discord link in the episode description. Or if you're old school, just send us an email to the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. That's 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can send us a phone call at 725-22-BULLS.
How do you send a phone call?
You're right. That was a terrible verb to use. Apologies to everyone. Or you can place a phone call, make a phone call, initiate a call by telephone.
Or give us.
To the numbers. Or give us a call. 725-22-BULLS. And nobody's called us in a while, Kyle. I feel so lonely.
Well, I have a lot of free time. I might start just leaving messages just to annoy you.
Yeah. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or, you know, maybe your mom just got shot by a hunter and you are lost with your skunk and rabbit friend and you just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Give us a call. Doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out.
I knew it at Hunter, for the record.
You knew it at Hunter, for the record. Yep. Oh, everybody knew it, Kyle, except... Yeah, they're half the audience are scratching their heads like, I don't fucking know what the hell you're talking about. They haven't made a live-action one of that movie.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight, here we are. It's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now, it's time for China Shop News.
Well, I know we've got a few big stories. Did you have something you want to lead off on, or you want me to start with one of mine?
Go ahead and start with yours, because I think it leads into mine, or mine goes with it.
Okay. The big story to me this week was the Dow posting its worst week since January. Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 3.5%. It was a huge pullback, and it happened on the backdrop of the Fed Reserve President Bullard talking to CNBC, telling him he thinks the Fed should raise interest rates as soon as the end of next year.
I thought they said they weren't going to.
Yes.
I thought the party was going to keep going, as Dr. Hahn said.
That's just it, is they're trying to balance they're trying to walk a tightrope of we're right. not going to raise rates, but we've got to raise rates.
Yeah. I'm looking at my article, which is kind of covering the same thing. It said Fed policymakers have already penciled in 2 rate increases by the end of 23.
So they are happening. There's no getting around that. It's just a matter of when at this point.
I mean, 2023 is still a ways away.
The other thing that went along with the Dow falling is the VIX saw a huge increase this week.
Not enough to get it back to where I bought it.
Yeah, even with the 10% spike on Friday?
No, it's gone down way significantly since I purchased that. I think that just continuously shrinks. So using that as a hedge is a terrible idea.
Yeah, live and learn.
Yeah, that's the name of the show.
All right. And so how does that line up with your story, Kyle?
Well, because this last Friday was the quad witching event.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, looking back throughout the history of this, Vico, I think, posted a nice graphic on it showing every quad witching for the last like 10 or 20 years. And it seems like there's always a big drop at that point.
Huh.
Not sure. I didn't specify why that is the case, but my thought process is because the quad witching refers to like a bunch of options expirations from, it's not just options, but it's a bunch of different stuff, right? That all expire on the same date, and like all the weeklies, the monthlies, and
weeklies, monthlies, quarterlies.
Yeah, they all just kind of coincide on the same date. So we did see, like, with AMC, like, there's a huge amount of options interest in that were set to expire in the money. But here's the problem with options. If you don't have the capital to exercise them, you know, and most people are trading options to try to make a quick buck and leverage their, you know, capital. As soon as you sell that off, then the market makers who are delta hedging for all those options contracts, they get to sell those shares that they have been holding to hedge those positions.
Mm-hmm.
So as those option contracts get sold off and not exercised, then there's a significant unwinding of, or I guess, injection of liquidity, you could say.
Yeah.
As all these different positions get unwound. So I think that's why the quad witching leads to that downward movement, and
right.
something I'm going to be paying attention to going into the future, because it looks like it's a pretty easy way to just place some, you know, S&P puts and make a quick profit.
Yeah, I know if you'd started the week buying some puts on the Dow, at least you would have done all right.
Yeah.
I did see that one of the Minneapolis Fed president is not one of the... I don't know how the Fed works, but apparently they rotate voting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's an understatement of the century. Yep. Apparently they rotate who can vote on their policy stuff at any given year.
Mm.
So I guess this guy doesn't have a vote this year. But he's saying that we shouldn't even talk about raising rates until after 2023.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we are seeing some public dissension. Like the Fed, they are not all united on what to do right now, and I find that to be concerning.
Yeah, that's a little worrying,
right? Well, only because it's public. Like this guy's come out publicly, Kashkari. Is his name, Neil Kashkari.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're doing it publicly, then yeah, that's never a good sign.
Yeah, this guy comes out publicly, tells Reuters that he poses rate hikes through 2023, and he doesn't like the dot plots that the Fed releases for their inflation numbers. Yeah, that's not a good sign to me. Like, that's dissension in the ranks. There's some infighting at the Fed. So that tells me that they could really make a bad move. Like any other human organization filled with human people, the infighting, people tend to not gravitate towards ideas and arguments. They gravitate towards the social constructs in that group.
Mm-hmm.
So they might support a bad idea because they like the person giving the bad idea. yeah, it becomes a mess. So I'm a little, I know it's the quadruple witching, okay, but on the backdrop of all the money we printed last year and coming out of the pandemic.
We're just due for a correction anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, the stock market's been screaming. That's the more we learn from the lessons that we've been doing, the steeper the rise, the less sustainable it is. There's going to be a regression to the mean.
Yes. The consumer price index hasn't risen this fast since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good sign.
The 80s were a good time, weren't they?
They didn't start out that way.
Yeah, I know.
The other chart I was looking at that was, I posted the article on the Discord, was talking about it showed a graph of the National Home Price Index compared to the CPI of the owner's equivalent rent of residence.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically where they ask people like, hey, if you moved out and started renting your house, what do you think the market rate would be? We haven't seen this level of divergence since the 2005-2006 housing bubble. That way, as we all know, burst.
Right.
Looking at this graph. So, yeah, it looks like we could really be in for a pop in the housing market, too.
I saw something, too, about a company that was going around buying up all the houses that it could find so that way you could start jacking up the rental rates, trying to make it harder for people to get actual houses. That might have been on Twitter. You can probably just cut that. I think I got a lot of conspiracy nuts on there now because followed too many of the wrong people.
Well, no, that may actually be happening because I came across a company, and now, of course, because we're taping the show, I can't remember the name of it, but they're an online house buyer where if you want to sell your house, you just do a video tour and mm-hmm. you upload the stuff and they'll make an offer and they'll buy your house online.
Yeah. When I had my work phone, I got an offer from somebody for, I guess, whoever else had that number at one point, which I did sell for him. My response to them was, send a check.
I'm sure.
So, Mike Dameron, wherever you are out there, you can thank me later.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. What else do we have for news?
I want to talk about Lordstown. I feel bad talking about this because I know one of our Discord users is a big fan. Or, I don't know if he's a fan necessarily, but he's definitely still stuck.
I think he's also lives in the town, in the area.
Yeah.
So this was a huge thing for the town.
Yeah.
This plant. I couldn't imagine living there and not being involved.
It has just been a fucking roller coaster for this company. I think they first came out, I think we talked about last week, about them coming out saying they may not have enough capital.
Mm-hmm.
Then they announced that they were in negotiations with investors to try to get that capital. And then we thought, okay, everything looks to be good there. Well, this last week, the frickin' CEO and CFO just suddenly resigned. Stock took a dump.
Resigned. Oh.
Then the new chairwoman got on and said that production plans remain in place. They've got orders to last through like the rest of the year or something along those lines. The stock went back up again. Then the story comes out where they clarified that statement saying that none of those orders are actually firm. Like, they're not obligations yet.
They were just, oh, God.
Yeah. So, yeah, stock is back down again. This has been a complete roller coaster ride for anybody who's on it, and I feel bad for, I know what AMC has been like. I can't imagine trying to run through this one.
Yeah, this is just a string of bad news for Lordstown.
But it's been bad news and then glimmer of hope and then bad news and then glimmer of hope and then bad news and then glimmer. I just rinse and repeat. It's been going on for 2 weeks now, and just when you think it's over, like, you get another one.
I'm not trading Lordstown, but to me, all of the glimmers of hope evaporate so fast. The mm-hmm. only thing that stays consistent is the bad news.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The article I was reading mentioned that last September,
mm-hmm.
the SEC ordered Lordstown to mention more prominently that an independent auditor assessing its losses to date found, quote, substantial doubt about the company's ability to continue as a going concern. Hmm. This was back in September.
Well, that statement that they made about the production plans, coming back and clarifying that the orders weren't firm, that was in response to a short seller report, basically saying, like, I think you're not being fully honest.
Yeah, and then it turns out they weren't.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah, so the SEC orders them to, like, hey, that independent auditor that raised the substantial doubt, display it more prominently. They buried that as one of the footnotes in their their risks related to Lordstown business operations and industry, page 38 in their presentation. And it actually so last September they did in a footnote. We note that Lordstown's independent auditor has raised substantial doubt about its ability to continue as a going concern. Please add a corresponding discussion in risk factors. So they've known that they weren't doing as good as they've been saying. They've known this for a long time.
Right.
And I think that's why the CEO and CFO stepped down.
And I think they got a nice paycheck on the way out, too.
Oh, those bastards. Rats leaving a sinking ship.
Yeah, I think the Discord friend who's invested in there, we posted our poll about Bezos. Are the billionaires going to space? Oh, no, when I posted that link to that article about them trying to deny Bezos re-entry, I think he wanted to package up the Lordstown CEO and send him up there.
Yes, yes.
If space flight gets cheap enough, maybe we can start launching douchebag CEOs to the moon. No return trip.
At what point does it go from, like, oh, they were just wrong on their business projections, to they lied to get investors? These two men made a killing, and everybody else is left holding the bill.
There probably will be a lawsuit. I've seen lawsuits for sillier things.
That's true.
Pulled against some of these, like Virgin Galactic keeps getting a bunch of them.
Well, what I'm questioning is criminal intent.
Right.
Like, where does that lie? Could you prove criminal intent?
I don't know.
I mean, in September, independent auditors are saying, like, you don't have a good business here. And they're like, yeah, we do. Like, shouldn't they know better?
I mean, did they do what they were told to do? Did they more prominently feature that concern?
I don't know. This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, we know the SEC's the toughest cop on the block, so.
I know, right? Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath for any consequences coming to anybody unless they bet us.
Oh, yeah, ever. Right? What else you got, Kyle?
I've got one last story.
Me too.
Apparently there's oat milk wars going on.
Oat milk wars? Like people fighting each other with oat milk?
No, I don't think it's quite like that. I don't know. Apparently the people are really liking oat milk now. There was a company called Oatly that tried to IPO, and I think I remember looking at whether or not I should sign up for it, and then when I saw what they actually produced, I was like, nah, fuck that. There can't be that much demand for oat milk. It actually did quite well on the IPO, so that's kind of why it popped up to my attention. But yeah, apparently there's a big war going on about oat milk, though.
Okay, well, tell me about this war. Like, who's fighting?
Well, are
there other big oat milk companies fighting Oatly?
All right, Dan. All right. Fuck. You happy? You got me. I didn't actually read the article. I just saw the headline and I thought it was funny. Okay? Are you happy?
Yes. Yes, fuck. I am very happy.
God damn. 20 questions, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know what? You should have known that the phrase oat milk war would ignite my brain with questions. Like, oh, we're having an oat milk war.
I probably should have. I'll post a link to the article. We don't have time to get into it. There is a war going on for oat milk right now, apparently.
Well, I know what side I'm on. It's time for you to pick yours. Oh, all right. Well, let's wrap up news. I got one. Well, I dare I say oat milk war level story.
Oh, you didn't read it either?
Well, I skimmed it.
Okay.
So, Texas is having a lot of the energy problems with their energy infrastructure, as we remember from the winter.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, the saga continues. Now that we're in summer, everybody, you know, they need that energy for their air conditioning, right?
Yeah, my grandma's just telling me about this. She lives in Houston, so she was there for the whole fiasco.
Okay, well, get her on. Is she still there? Bring her on. Give her a microphone.
I think they ran out to the airport. No. She was talking about that, them telling them that they want them to start conserving power, but if you've ever been to fucking Houston in July, yeah, good luck. That place is just miserable.
Well, they did. They did ask everybody to set their thermostats at 78 degrees during the hottest parts of the day.
Oh, God, that'd be miserable there.
But they went a step further. They went a step further. Power companies in Texas, I love this. People who installed smart thermostats that, like, hook up to their Wi-Fi so they can work the thermostat from their phone and their app,
Yeah.
Yeah. If you clicked the little button that was like, yeah, sign me up for the energy savings program, the power companies themselves went in and upped the thermostat in everybody's houses.
Oh, that's bullshit. Oh.
Yeah, this guy on Twitter or TikTok did a series of videos where his wife and kid turned the thermostat down and laid down to take a nap and woke up sweating. Because after they went to bed, the power company cranked it back up.
God damn it. I know how angry people get when anybody touches their thermostat, you know, especially fathers.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, man, there's probably been a lot of disciplined children for people who don't know that's going on.
Who touched the thermostat?
Touch that thermostat again. I'm fucking grounding you.
Right? Right. So, needless to say, this user immediately opted out of that program.
Yeah.
That's just fucking awful. That's just awful.
That's a dangerous slope. We start letting companies and corporations control our home environment.
If you live in Texas and you had your thermostat remotely controlled, reach out, let us know.
Yes, please.
How mad you were and how you're going to ground the executives at the power company.
Tell us who got in trouble at your house first before you realized what was going on.
Right. The poor kid who always turns it up like, I swear, Dad, it wasn't me. Get over here. Get my belt. It wasn't me. It was the power company. All right. So that's all I got for now.
Okay.
We ready to move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right. So as we mentioned at the top of the show, we are now Trade Pro Academy affiliates. Kyle and I are both taking their courses, and they are the real McCoy. They really are truly the skills you need to be a trader. Even if you're just a passive investor, these skills will help. And we are going to have a link for you in the episode description if you want to support the show and grow your trading and analytical and technical analysis skills. Follow that link, sign up. They've got an amazing community. They're just great people, and they got the knowledge that I so desperately crave. And if you join Trade Pro and make a ton of money and you want to, figure out where to put it, or if you lose a ton of money and you need to redo your mortgage, we got somebody for that too, because Two Bulls in a China Shop is proudly, since its inception, brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even reverse mortgage. Sue will help. She's licensed in 26 states and growing, and I gotta give her a call, see if that's grown again. And then you can also please reach out and see what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is to just give her a phone call at 520-977-7904, or you can write her an email at spullen@fairwaymc.com, S-P-U-L-L-E-N. At fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com, and that phone number is 520-977-7904. See what Sue can do for you. All right, folks, thanks for sticking around. We're just so glad you made it. As always, let us know how much you like us by reaching out to us. Rate, subscribe on your platform of choice.
Or how much you hate us.
Yeah, tell us how much you hate us. Yeah, send us a message. Give us a phone call.
Either one. Either one's good.
Come on. We just love you guys. So much fun here in the shop and on the Discord. We are shutting down for the day, closing shop, kicking everybody out, rolling down the metal shutters so we don't get any vandals. Only we can smash China here.
Doing it again, Dan.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Till next time, happy trades.
Bye, folks. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company.
They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.